Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Happy anniversary. A couple things to talk about before we get into our message. Our move back to Gainesville. Hopefully everybody knows we are moving back into Gainesville. We've been believing for this for a long time. God has opened the door right straight up the road. And the reason why is to better fulfill our mission. It's all about the mission of the church, which is to touch people, help people know God. That's why we're moving back to Gainesville. And we've already found there's a lot more traffic, there's a lot more people, and it's a good move, so we're working on it. As many of you know, we're waiting on our doors. There were some issues with that. Now, the door guy, John and I visited the place where they're making the doors this past week, and they said they will be ready on either the 12th or the 15th, which is this coming Friday or Monday. Hopefully, so that means if they're ready on Monday, hopefully the door guy will install them next week, and which means once he gets started installing them, and we know once he starts, he'll get them installed, then we will move that Sunday. So if all that happens and he installs them, not this coming week, but the next week, then the 21st will be our last Sunday here. Everybody say if.
Yeah. If.
Okay, so just so you know, I give you a heads up that, you know, hopefully this was the way it will work out. But as we know in the past, things have not always, people don't always do what they say they're going to do. Can you believe that? Will you believe that? People don't always do what they say they're going to do. But if that works out, if they do that, they install them on the 15th, 21st will be our last Sunday here. And that's, we'll do what we've been talking about. Come bring your work clothes. And at the end of the service, we're going to start loading stuff up. We're going to have a van, and people can bring trailers. It'll be easier if we kind of separate stuff. We'll take it over there and unload it. And then the sound guys come in like Tuesday, Wednesday, and we brought all our equipment over there. They hook it up. That will mean the 28th will be our first service there, okay? Everybody say if.
Yeah.
If, but that, if, okay, so I'm just giving you a heads up, but if it changes, I told you it could change, but right now that's the way it looks, so we can kind of be prepared. We'll be giving you more information next week. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
All right, so we're almost there. We're almost there. There'll be no work day this Saturday, but after the doors are installed, we're probably going to have work nights like every night, because then we're going to have to, they're going to put in the doors and the baseboards. It's the last thing that needs to happen, but then they'll all have to be caulked and painted. So there'll be a lot of work to do right after the doors are in. So we'll probably have work nights during that week and then that Saturday. But this Saturday, we won't have a work day. And join with us in this adventure. Isn't God good? But there's always challenges along with taking new territory. You have, you know, new enemies to conquer. You got enemies, you got wild animals. When they took the promised land, they had challenges. So it's all right. We're ready for that because we have a big God with lots of power, and we're going to get in there. So three things you can do. Number one, pray. Number two, give financially. And number three, just work when we have work days. We're still on schedule for having our grand opening September 15th. You never want to have a relaunch during the summer. So it works out fine. We get a chance to get in the building, work out all the bugs, and then we're planning on September 15th. That's the day that we present to the world to come. We get everything, you get our act together, we get advertising, we start doing that at the beginning of September. That is the prime time for people looking for a new church home. September is the best month of the year. January is the second best. So we're really blessed that we're able to capitalize on the best month of the year. September 15th, that will be our grand opening. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. We're going to start something new today. After 20 years, we are going to start a monthly tradition at Victory Church called the Dream Team Leader of the Month. You ever go to a store like Target and they have a parking place up front for Employee of the Month? They have Employees of the Month and stuff like that? Well, I don't know. It just came to me this past week. We need to have a Dream Team Leader of the Month, and I'm going to take the best parking place in the new building right in the front and put a big sign there, Dream Team Leader of the Month, and for the whole month they get to park in that parking place. So we thought we'd kick it off. We said, well, where do we start? I thought, well, who's been a Dream Team Leader the longest? And so it didn't take long to figure it out. And so the Dream Team, I think we have a picture, the Dream Team Leader of the Month. is none other than Barbara Haynes. And today we're celebrating our 20-year anniversary. And she has been a Dream Team leader for, guess how long? 20 years. 20 years. 20 whole years. From the very first Sunday, in fact, she was part of the team that we got together and prayed about whether to start this church and when and where and how. She was part of a group of people that we were praying about it. Her husband at the time, Courtney Roberts, he kept every week, every time I'd see him, he says, God told me you're supposed to start a church in Gainesville. And so he had the word before I did. We were praying about the time. Barbara, come on up here. We want you to come up. And Courtney was our first associate pastor. He's gone to be with Jesus, but Barbara is thankfully still with us and has many years ahead, and she's been a faithful leader, an awesome leader, a great leader. She's taken on different responsibilities. Whenever there was a need, Barbara would be the first one. I can do that. I'll do that. And she's the head of our hospitality team. And we've got a little card for you and a gift. You can take the grandkids to Chick-fil-A. Okay. Have a good time. Come over here. Let me give you a hug. Everybody,
thank
just
you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you,
you
guys.
You are.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an example of a great leader, a humble leader, a faithful leader. You know, never. You know, just does, just what, you know, that's the way she's been for 20 years. If there's a need, if there's any way she could do it, she will do it. Just a heart to serve. I don't think we could have a better leader, example of a Dream Team leader, or a better person to start off a new tradition of Dream Team Leader of the Month. You couldn't ascribe to a better example than to be like Barbara. So everybody say, God bless Barbara. We love you. Did you want to say anything?
No.
Okay.
I know Linda. When Linda gets up here, it'll be her turn.
We're not giving Linda a mic. We're not giving. Linda doesn't get a mic. She won't get that opportunity.
No.
Only
I,
you.
I just want to remember that serving is about to the Lord. That's all it is.
Amen.
And you know, if we just keep our eyes on that, that's why we're. That's why we serve.
It's not about recognition. It's not about anything. It's just serving the Lord. And I just really felt like that's what our call is. So,
amen.
Preach it.
No.
Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Praise the Lord. All right, there are some sermon notes in your worship guide. And we're going to get into our message today called 20-Year Anniversary, because today is our 20-year anniversary. So I want to start with setting the tone by looking at a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. We're kind of picking up where Michael Crames left off last week, kind of tagging on to his, because there's a reason that we're here. 20 years, that's a long time. I know if y'all can't believe that I possibly could have been here for 20 years. You know, I don't even look that old, right? Most of you, come on, help me out here a little bit. Some of you said, yeah. Although you're amazed, how could he have started a church 20 years ago? But it's true, 20 years, and there's a reason behind the church. There's a motive. There's something the church is supposed to do. Let's tap into it here, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll pick up in verse there. We're going to read some portions of verses 8 through 16. You all know Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. It starts off with now faith is. It explains faith, and it explains it by giving examples of people of faith. And I want to focus just for a moment on this man named Abraham. Everybody remember Abraham from the Bible? The faith of Abraham, the father of faith, father of many nations. All right, we pick up this story. I remember Abraham lived in a city named Haran, which his father started. He lived in an established city where they had nice houses and running, you know, irrigation and water and wells and, you know, everything's established, which was difficult in those days. And God asked him to do something contrary to logic and reason. He asked him to leave all that behind, take his family, and he didn't even tell him exactly where he was going. He said, I just want you to wander through the desert in tents, right? That's a big ask, right? But it applies to us, because in your life as a Christian, there will be some big asks from God. He will ask you to leave something that seems like security, that seems like comfort, that seems like something that you worked for, that you would not in the natural want to give up. In the natural, no. In this day and age, you've built cities and you've got irrigation and you've got barns and wells. Well, no, you're not leaving that. And there will be things in your life that God will ask you to move on from, because he's got, not because he's trying to punish you, what, you know, guess what? Because he's got something better, better for you. And that's what this passage talks about. Look at this. By faith, Abraham lived in tents when he could have been living in a nice air-conditioned home. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And I'll just give you the spoiler on this. It wasn't here. The city, he never built a city. He's living in the city now. The city he's talking about is in another land, in another dimension, in another place. It's not on this earth. The things that you're longing for in this life that you want, that you desperately want, you can get inklings of it in this life in the Spirit of God. But the fullness of it is not until we get across the river to the other side. God has something prepared for you far greater than earth can ever replicate. No, it's beyond this earth. It's better than this earth. People may look at you and think that you're strange because some decisions you've made and sacrifices that you've made. But God doesn't think you're strange. He says, go for it. I've got something. And he says, I'm not ashamed to give you what I've got for you. You're never going to be disappointed for what you give up in this life for what I've got for you in the next life. But he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. And that's something important for us to think about every day, because the natural environment says this is all that there is, but in the spirit you say, no, this is not all that there is. I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger, I'm just passing through. This is not my permanent destiny. This is not what it's all about. No matter how much the world has to offer you, it pales in insignificance to what God has prepared for us in eternity. And they said, we're foreigners and we're strangers on earth. People who say such things, hopefully you and I say such things, people who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country which they had left, now he could have thought about when they got out there and they didn't have water, and they didn't have a house, and they didn't have a place to keep. They could have thought, maybe we need to go back. Have you ever thought that about your life? The things that you gave up, maybe I need to go back. There will always be a tug to go back to those old friends and those old times. And the devil likes to paint a picture as if your past was all that great. He doesn't remind you of all the pain and the agony. Somehow he takes little snippets of your life in the past and says, you'd be better off to go back to that place. But I can assure you, you will not be better off to leave what God has for you. He has something better for you. He said if they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. And I've known people that thought too much about what they left, and they have returned. And I can tell you from experience, it didn't turn out well. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. I'm here to tell you today, there is a heavenly reward. That's what church is all about. That's why you're in church today, because there's something bigger, there's something better. And people will tell you, why are you wasting your Sunday? I'm not wasting my Sunday. I'm laying up a treasure in heaven. I'm doing what I was born to do. I'm fulfilling a destiny in my life. I'm being part of a team that's making a difference. There's an eternal destiny bound up on the inside of me. Eternity is on the inside of every one of you, and that's why you're here today. Yeah. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Now look at this. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. He's not ashamed. He's not going to, when you get there, he's not going to go, oh, I know you're disappointed, it's not all that. No, he's convinced that you're going to go, oh, if I had only known. If I had only known what I could lay up on this, I would have chewed all over again different. I'd give more to God. I'd spend more time in prayer. I'd give more of my finances. I'd give more of my time. If I had only known how great heaven is. I'm convinced that's going to be the situation when we get to heaven. If I had only known. Yeah, we do know. He said he's not ashamed. God himself, God Almighty said, I'm not going to be ashamed when you get here over what I've prepared for you. I will not be ashamed. And you're going to be proud. And you're going to be happy. And you're going to say it was all worth it. Maybe you've gone through persecution. And people have criticized you. You've given up stuff. If you're a Christian, you've given up stuff. If you've never given up anything, I question your salvation. Because it's going to cost you something to be a Christian. And don't look back. Don't go back. Keep pressing on. Keep looking forward. That's what church is all about. That's what church is. That's why we exist. We're looking for a city which has foundations. Huh. How about you? Where is your hope? Where is your hope? This life is passing away. This life, everything you see, if you can see it, it's temporary. One day, the Bible says, it will be completely destroyed and melted to back to base elements, and he's going to remake it. Anything you can see, don't get too attached to it, because it will be done away with. Heaven, however, is eternal. It will never be destroyed. This life is important, but this life is about the next life. This life is not about this life. That's where people get messed up. They think this life is about this life. This life is not about this life. This life is about the next life. It's all about the next life. It's all about putting it in perspective. It's all about having one eye on earth so you're not bumping into stuff, and one eye on heaven. You can't have both eyes on heaven. You'll run into stuff. But you can't have both eyes on earth. You'll get everything out of proportion. You'll do the wrong things. You'll invest in the wrong things that don't have any return. You got to have one eye on heaven and one eye on earth. Yeah. You got to keep looking at both. You can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good, but you can be so earthly minded you haven't laid up any treasure in heaven. You're living for an eternal reward. This life is about the next life. Don't get confused. You were made for eternity. I've heard people say this, and I feel that. You know, say, how old are you? I'm like 85. But I don't feel 85. I don't feel, I'm 64. Point how many of you, as you get up in years, you say, I still feel like a kid inside, don't you? I mean, yeah, my body, I can't play tackle football anymore. Come on. I tried it when I was 40. Remember that? We lived in Gainesville, and it had this big open area behind the house, and I used to watch these high school kids get out there and play tackle football. And I'm like, they don't know how to play. Well, I got to go. I'm going to go. And I went, and I played with them tackle football one time. I showed them a thing or two, but my body showed me a thing or two. Boy, they jumped. I was running with the ball, and when I was carrying three of them on my back. And then I fell and landed on my right shoulder with three of them on my back, and I couldn't lift my arm for 3 months, and that was the last time. So my body felt like 40, but now I'm 64 on the inside. Why? Because your spirit does not age. That's why people say, I don't feel like I'm 60 or 80 or 100 or whatever. You don't feel it in the inside because your inside doesn't age. Now, my brain should have said, you know, you are 40. You don't need to be playing tackle football. Your spirit feels young, but your body has some realities taking place in it, okay? But why is that? It's that you were made for eternity, and in your spirit and in your soul, it's eternal. It doesn't age. It's not aging. Your spirit is not aging. It doesn't get old. Your body is getting old, is facing the realities of this life, but thank God he's going to give us a new body, an immortal body, an eternal body that will be able to handle eternity and travel through space and whatever else that God has for us out there. We're going to get a new one of those, but you're not going to get a new spirit. You're going to have that same spirit. You're not going to get a new soul. That's why you need to develop your soul, develop your mind. Develop your spirit, because you're keeping that. It's going with you, and it does not age. It is eternal. You are eternal. That's why we're in church today, and that's why we have a church today, because there is an eternity. And you were made for more than just this life. That's what church is all about. It's not trying to escape reality. It's not like people say, oh, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. No, we're not coming together saying we're perfect. We are virtually saying we are imperfect, and we need help to encourage each other along this journey of imperfection to be more perfect week by week. That's what it's all about. But it's acknowledging that there's more to life than this life. Otherwise, I'd be fishing today. I'd be on the beach. If it was all about this life, I'd get as much as I could out of this life. But that's pretty stupid, because that's complete existentialism. And when you're dead, it's over. And that is discouraging. That is depressing. If I went to a funeral for my mom or my dad or my loved one and said, that's it, they're dead, it's over, that is extremely depressing. But when I say, they're in heaven, and I'm going to see them again one day, I'm going to be with them, they're going to be with me, that's encouraging, and that's the life that God has created. There is an eternity, and you know it on the inside of you. You were made for eternity. You were made for more than just this life. Life on earth is just a test. It's an opportunity to get promoted. It's an opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. It's an opportunity to be rewarded. The sacrifices that you make today, they're not forgotten. Never, 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 never. God sees everyone. Every time Barbara has come early and stayed late and served, oh, God's got a record of all that. There's a tremendous reward. You're going to be amazed when you get to heaven. The reward, I believe that for my own life. I believe that for your life. You will be rewarded. You were designed to make a difference. But it's interesting how God created us, not to think that we're all that, not to give in to pride, that the difference that you can make in this life, you can never make it by yourself. You're designed to be part of a team. Church is team. Church is not a person. It's not one person. It's not a sign. It's not a name. It's team. Church is about teamwork. That's the humbling thing about this life, that God says you're an eye or you're an ear. Well, if you take the eye out, it doesn't exist. It can't live. You take the ear out, the body can go on. That's the way he looks at us. He says, you need the rest of the body. We need each other to fulfill our destiny. That's what church is all about. You were designed for teamwork. This is like a football team. Quarterback's great, but guess what? He can't throw the ball, block, catch the ball, tackle, kick. He needs the other guys, right? That's the way church is. It's teamwork. We work together. Okay, it's where you're fed, and it's where your gifts are utilized. Yes, you come to receive, but you come to give. I thought about it this way. You come to church originally because of what you can get, but once you get into a relationship with God, you realize that you stay for what you can give. Amen. Huh? You come for what you can get, which is great. We need to entice people and say, there's something you can get. But after you start figuring out how it works, you stay for what you can give, not for what you can get. Because now I learn to be a self-feeder, and I go to God, and I love God. And then I say, what can I give? You stay for what you can give and how you can give. And that's how the dream works, by teamwork. You fit someplace. It's where you make a difference. So on the 4th of July, 1999, we started this church 20 years ago on 4th of July. 4th of July was a Sunday. We started this church. It began one of 330,000 churches in America. Just one little church. We're not the biggest. We're not the smallest. We're not the best. We're not the greatest. We don't believe we have all the answers. We believe we know somebody that has all the answers. And we don't believe that we're designed as Christians to solve everybody's problems. We're designed to help each other come to the source of all strength, which is God, and he solves our problems. So we're encouraging one another. So we became a church, just one church of many. And we've seen in the last 20 years, 2,010 people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which I think is awesome. But what I wanted to talk about today, usually I show pictures and we go back, and I'm not going to do that. Maybe next year we'll do it again. I like doing that because I wanted to focus more on the future. And I don't really have time to go back in the past. We can do that again next year. You can look at the pictures. The past is great. We had a great past. We've had great last 20 years. It's been great. We've seen lots of miracles and salvations and healings and marriages and people getting free from addictions and problems. But I want to talk about the future. Because the future is where it's at. Where are we headed? You know, Jesus is coming back for a church, not a lukewarm church. He's not looking for a lukewarm church, not looking for just, you know, a so-so church. He's looking for a church that's on fire. Yeah. He's looking for a church that is consumed when they go to bed at night, when they get up, about people that in their city that are still going to hell, that, that we need to change their eternal destiny. People that are consumed with getting closer to God, knowing God better in their own life, getting free and discovering their purpose and taking their gifts and investing them in something that's eternal. That's the church that Jesus is coming back for, and that's the church that is incumbent upon us to become. Because if we're not careful, we'll become something else. When Jesus wrote, he spoke in the book of Revelations to seven different churches. And most of them, if not all of them, there was some that was just only correction. There was one they said they were doing a good job, but they had every one of them needed some help. So it's okay to need some help. It's okay to be on a journey and to not have everything figured out, but we got to keep going to the source. And how do we do things better? And that's what I want to talk about today, is that I want to assure you that as the leaders of this church, we get together every week and we don't just say, we'll pat ourselves on the back for things we've done in the past. We say every week, how do we do it better? Because I believe it's in the consequences of us not doing good are too great. People will spend eternity separated from God. We've got to get this right. Consequences are eternal for people. So he's coming back for a church that's on fire. I believe he's coming back, as we translate, to a church that's helping people. We translate it this way. Well, we want to help people do four things. You say, should we do something else? If we can, we will. But for now, this is the way we try to put it. We want to help people do four things. Know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. I believe that encompasses the whole life of where fulfillment comes in your life. So we're helping people. I don't believe the church is on this earth to solve everybody's problems. That's who God is. The church is on this earth to help people find who solves the problems and who's the source, where we came from, and that we need to have a relationship with him. And he shows us either how he's going to solve it or how we're going to solve it, how he's going to help us solve it. And you need a relationship with God. So I don't believe the church is supposed to be the source of all the answers. This is supposed to be the source of pointing people to where the answer is, and it's God. I believe the church is supposed to help people know God. That's the beginning. I've experienced this in life, that I've seen people that have gotten everything that the world says, if you've got it, you're going to be happy. And they weren't happy. Why? Because you're not happy till you're doing what God called you to do. It's that simple. You're not happy till you're fulfilling God's destiny for your life. No, but you can't read that in a book. I can't tell you what your destiny is. Your mama can't tell you what your destiny is. She didn't even know if you were going to be a boy or a girl. She was just the agent that God chose to bring you into existence. He created you, and the only place you can figure out what you were created for is to go to the Creator. Right. So the first thing we have to do as a church is help people know God. Yeah. When you know God, you have access to the information that is critical to your existence. We help people know God. Next, we find freedom because you pick up a lot of baggage in life. Yeah. Am I the only one that picked up baggage at a young age? I mean, people are mean. Kids are mean, classmates are mean, coaches are mean. Sometimes your parents say things they don't mean to. They say things that stick in your head, that it becomes baggage. It becomes something you have to overcome. And we have things within our church to help you get free from some of this baggage. Right. A lot of stuff. But the main thing is our freedom group that we have. It was coming up again in September. I'm going to tell you, if you've never been through freedom group, I'm just going to tell you, you should go through freedom group. It will make a big difference in your life to get rid of some baggage that you don't need. And it's hard to get rid of that baggage. I know. Because you've been carrying it for a while. I know what it's like I don't know. You don't touch my bag. Don't mess with my bag. That's my bag. But it's slowing me down. And it's better to get rid of it. And that's what Freedom Group is about. And that's what Finding Freedom is about. The next thing we're supposed to do is help people discover their purpose in life. And as Pastor Mike shared so eloquently this morning, that your design reveals your destiny. It's a big clue. We do a personality profile. We do a spiritual gifts assessment. It's helping you see how you were uniquely made. It helps you figure out what you're supposed to uniquely do. Right. So we do our best to help you discover. We're not giving you purpose. You have a purpose from God. We're trying to help you figure that out from God. Discover purpose. And that's why people are discouraged, because they never discovered their purpose and gone on to the fourth step, which is to make a difference. You can't make a difference till you're doing what you were created. You can't do created till you get rid of your baggage, and you can't get rid of your baggage till you know God. So it's all a lifelong journey, and it keeps on going on. But when you get into the place where you're making a difference, that's when you find fulfillment. And that's why some of these people that I've known that had everything the world said would make them happy, they weren't happy, because they weren't doing what they were created to do. And this is what we're trying to do as a church, is a system of getting you where you need to be so that you can be fulfilled. That's what makes the difference. Helping people make a difference. And we do that through dream teams where you serve, like Barbara's been doing for 20 years. It's important. Dream work. The teamwork makes the dream work. It's not one person. It takes at least 30 people to pull off a Sunday service. A lot of it happens during the week. People come during the week. They clean. They do books. They make deposit. They do count the offering. And then on Sunday, it takes a lot of people to pull off a service. And that's the dream teams, and they're essential. And you get to be a part of the 2010 people that received Jesus as Lord. And you get to be a part of the exponential increase as we move into the new building and we have a greater flow. You get to be a part of that. Okay, so he's coming. Jesus is coming back for a church that's worshiping him and leading people to him. We're looking to the future as a church. I wrote this down this week. I'm sure I've heard similar things in the past, but we'll go ahead and put, I think I got made a slide for it, and this is just what I felt like we needed to. It was like a message to us as a church. It says this, that when your past is greater than your future, you've begun to be irrelevant. I felt like that applied to us as a church. Because I've seen this in church, that sometimes you get married to your systems, they've said that the death knell of any church is the statement, that's the way we've always done it. We can't be married to what we've always done. We have to look to the future. Is God doing something new? Yes, he's doing something. We have to keep reaching the next generation. I could take you to 5 different churches in Gainesville that right now, that the church gets smaller by 1 every time somebody dies in the church, and it's getting smaller, and they don't know what to do because they have not remained relevancy to the current generation. That's something that we, like any other church, is in danger of getting stuck with our traditions, with our preferences, with the way that we've always done it, and we don't adapt to a new generation, and we stop losing. That's why we've got a lead team of 5 people. I'm the oldest. Carl's the next oldest, and then the other 3 out of 5 are 30 years old, or thereabouts, somewhere close to 30. Because we've got to have the input of the next generation. Even they're getting old. Soon we got to bring even some younger. Everybody gets old. We have to stay relevant. And when your past, if all we do is celebrate the past, when the past becomes greater than our future, we have definitely begun to be irrelevant, and we're going to just end up like that church that gets smaller every week. We have to reach our next generation. Now, so the question is, are we poised for the future? Are we prepared for the future? On our 20th anniversary, rather than just celebrating what we've done for 20 years, I want to ask, are we ready for the next 20 years? Yeah. Are we connecting with this generation? I saw this church sign on Pinterest. Anybody ever seen Pinterest? I just found out about it. Does anybody know this thing exists? How many have ever seen Pinterest? Yeah, and you can go, they have a church, I don't know what else you guys do on there, but they have this whole church section where you can see churches and innovations and stuff like that, and it had this whole section on church signs and pictures of signs in churches, and I said, there's 2 of them, I'm going to give you this one right now. I think this is a fascinating sign. It's a sign that's actually in a church, and it says this, we are unwavering, we will not cater to personal preference in our mission to reach this city. There's more, right? The next slide. We are more focused on those we're trying to reach than those we're trying to keep. That's a very important concept, because after a while you just, oh, well, we don't want to offend, but it's keeping you from reaching the next generation. We need to think about this as a church. We're thinking about us as leaders. This is a concept that we firmly believe, and I just thought this put it together in a very interesting statement. We're more focused on those we're trying to reach than those we're trying to keep. And when we stop doing that, we stop reaching this generation. And guess who gets them? The devil gets them. He's going to take them. He's going to suck them up into whatever he's got to offer them. But the church has to be on the forefront, has to be on the cutting edge, has to be there to get this next generation into their destiny. Because the devil has a plan for their life too, not just God. The devil has a plan for their life. We got to make sure they get into God's plan for their life. So the question is, are we connecting with this generation? We're going to try. We're going to do our best. We might make mistakes along. Well, we'll certainly make mistakes along the way because we're human. But God's going to show us where we made mistakes and help us keep moving forward. And as we do it together, we'll limit our mistakes, but we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to do our best. We are looking as leaders at everything that we do and saying, how can we do it better? And we're making some changes. Everybody loves change, right? I can just see it in your faces. All you think, as soon as I said change, yeah, let's make some changes. Actually, according to statistics, 76% of people on the earth hate change. That's 3 out of 4 in this room. 3 out of 4 of you, as soon as I said change, a little chill went down your spine. No, you're not changing something that, yeah, we're going to change it. We're going to make sure we change it. I don't like change. I am one of those people, and I have a personality that is not, you know, adaptive to change. And that's why I've got 4 other people on the lead team that's trying to help me change. But the consequences are too great to hang on to our personal preferences. We got to figure out what we got to do to keep moving forward. So we've already established some things that we're going to have to do differently in the new building. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I like change. You liar. No, but you actually believe yourself. So if you keep saying it, you can like it. So tell now turn to the other person that you disrespected the first time, on the other side of you, and say, I like change. All right, you keep saying that, okay? You keep saying that as I tell you some of the stuff that we're going to change that you don't want me to change, all right? When I say it, you say, I like change. When I tell you we're taking away this favorite thing about the church that you like, then you just say, I like change. And why are we changing? Just to change? No, because we want to do a better job. We believe God's given us a golden opportunity to meet more people, and we've identified some areas by looking at weaknesses that I've seen recently. God, we dropped the ball on that family when they came. We dropped the ball. We didn't help them navigate well. We dropped the ball on that one. We dropped the ball. And we're saying, okay, how do we keep from dropping the ball? There are some things that we have to do better. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
I think there's some things that we can do better. It might hurt because we might be getting something rid of something that you thought was the greatest thing since sliced toast. But we have identified it, we believe, is going to hold us back at the next level. Okay? We are creating a whole new dream team, ministry, even a location called The Summit. It's going to be part of, space is at a premium, right? The building's 6,300 square feet. I wish it was 12,000 square feet. So there's not enough, everybody wants more space. And now we're creating a whole new ministry and taking up some square footage out of the building. Why? Because we believe this is going to help us connect with new people. It's called The Summit because we're called Victory Church. And like if you're climbing a mountain, you're victorious when you get to the summit, right? The top of the summit. There's a little room called The Summit. It's going to be in the lobby, and it's going to be a place only for new people to help them get connected, to answer their questions, to figure out where they fit in, to see what they're looking for in a church. And it's a special place. We're going to treat them like kings and queens and pamper them, and then the other people go, well, so you can get a bad attitude about it. Or you can say, this is for the better good because we're trying to help people find their destiny, all right? So all this, you can be upset. You can affected my personal preference. Or you can say, okay, the leaders are trying to reach this generation. That's why if it doesn't work, we'll quit doing it. But we've already researched it. We found out new churches, particularly our association, the Ark Church. This works very well. I felt like we needed to have it. We've prayed about it. We talked about it. So we're creating this space called The Summit. So that takes space from other things. It's also going to take resources. People are going to have to be there. So we're going to have to shift things. There's going to be some shifts. So the stuff that we cut out in order to move into this, might upset you. But then that's when you're going to go, I like change.
Amen.
We also have to create this concept of floaters among our greeters, which is, I've noticed we dropped it. But when new people, let me give you a picture of this, which is, a single mom with 4 kids comes to church. Why does she come to church? She's desperate. She's looking for answers. She wants to get her kids in the right environment. She's looking for some strength, some comfort. Now, anybody that comes through those doors, you don't know what struggle they're, what brought them to the place where they're coming. It could be life and death for them. And we've identified that we dropped the ball, for an example, on this She gets out of her car. She's got the four kids. She's struggling. She walks in the building, and she doesn't know where the bathroom is. She's got two boys and two girls. She doesn't know where to take them. She, kids church, check in. What the, you know, she's just, it's tough. So worth it. How do I make it easy? And the way we make it easy, somebody needs to meet them in the parking lot. First person they see when they drive in needs to be a smiling face. And they should be identified as somebody new that's going to have a hard time trying to figure out. And that person needs to go with them, help them, carry their kids, show them where to check them in. Here's the men's room. Here's the kids' rooms. Here's the, let me take you to the, I mean, the ladies' room. Here's the kids', and walk and stay with that person and walk them through the process. Does that make sense?
Awesome.
All right. That's going to take a lot of manpower.
Yeah.
But we got to do it. We got to pull it off because that woman and those four kids are too important. And if this is frustrating and it's hard, and I've actually seen it, they don't even follow, but they just go home, or they definitely don't come back. We got to make it easy. We got to make it fun. We got to make it exciting. And it's going to take extra effort. Everybody say, I like change.
I like change.
So we have to change some things. We're going to have to start earlier. Everybody say, I like change.
I like change.
We got to get ready. We got to get the summit set up. We got to get some other things I'm fixing to talk about. We got to get them set up. It's going to cost us something to do a better job. Because if we're not doing as good a job as we could possibly doing now, that means if to do a better job, we have to do something we haven't been doing.
Yeah.
It's going to cost us something.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just being honest. Everybody say, I like change.
I like change.
We have to start earlier. We're going to have time to pray. We're going to have time to huddle. We're going to have time to group up and say, okay, how are we going to handle this situation? Are we, how did it go last week? Where did we drop the ball last week? How do we do better this week? And we have a new plan for hospitality. Barbara's been doing an incredible job, but we've identified this is a resource that we can reallocate. It's taking, we right now, we have donuts, we have coffee, we have orange juice, we have milk, we have chocolate milk, we have cream cheese, we got, and the truth is those resources could be better spent. The time that it takes to do that, the waste that we have in order to make sure that we don't run out, those resources, everybody say,
I like change,
could be better spent doing these other things, equipping, staffing the summit, getting people out in the parking lot, smiling with signs. Those resources could be better spent. Everybody say,
I like change.
Say, I see some of you, you're already going to go grab your donuts before you get out. Say, I got to bring them. I got to bring them when we go to a new building. I got to bring my own donuts. Yeah, but we've identified this is what it's going to take. We're going to have to give up some stuff that we love in order to do some stuff that's better for the people. We got to reallocate that amount of time that's being spent can be better spent doing some other things.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. We're shifting manpower, shifting resources. We're going to start childcare for the Dream Team at 8:45 because we really can't have the situation that we have now. It's okay. We've put up with it. We've done it. But I cringe every Sunday because a lot of people come early, at, you know, at 8:45, 9 o'clock, and they have kids. They bring their kids with them. And every time I see one of those little kids grab that door with those little fingers, try to get in, I think, oh, somebody's going to get their fingers crushed in that door. And we're not doing a good job. We're just not doing a good job. So we're going to start child care for Dream Team at 8:45. You say, who's going to do that? I don't know. One of you guys here. I'm looking around.
Come on.
I don't know. It's going to cost us. We've got to make some changes. We're going to start earlier because we just, it's not a good situation. You know, just, oh, somebody's going to watch my kids. Nah, it's not a good situation. We got to be more intentional. We got to be ready. We got to be prepared. Our teams have to be on point. We have to focus more on guiding visitors to their place, helping them check in, helping them find their seat. Just don't let them wander around. Let's help them as much as they want. If they don't want help, fine. But a lot of people want help. They want some comfort. Help them find a small group. Help them find their, it's going to take resources. Help them feel welcome and comfortable. Are you kind of getting the picture?
Yeah.
Help them feel safe and secure. Who's going to do that? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Hopefully they said it back to you. You know, and we have a great team. I'm not saying we don't have a great team. I'm just saying we've identified some areas where we need to shift our focus. We need to shift manpower because I believe we can do a better job. We have an awesome team. We have an awesome overseer, Pastor Scott Hornsby. He is a tremendous man of God who helps me. I have two other mentors in my life, Pastor Mark Quattrochi and Lee Grady. They help me. They give me insight. We have three awesome pastors, because I'm one of them, three awesome pastors. Myself as the senior pastor, Carl Crames, who oversees small groups, prayer, freedom group. We have Pastor Mike, who's our office manager, oversees discovery, a dream team coordinator. He oversees 9 out of 14 of our dream teams. We have an awesome lead team, which is those three pastors plus Michael Crames and Jordan Williams. That's our lead team. We have some awesome dream team leaders like Jordan Williams, who oversees our worship ministry. How many of you love worship? Michael Crames oversees college ministry and Sunday production. Brenda, who oversees small groups, prayer, freedom groups. Brenda does an awesome job. Betty Kennedy oversees preschool and nursery. Yeah. Let's hear it for Betty. Awesome New Yorker. Not too many of them, but she's one of the awesome ones. Robert and Jessica oversee kids' church, 5 to 11-year-olds. Tegan oversees facilities and housekeeping. Where's Tegan? She's not in here. She's serving in the nursery. She's taken over for John Cassay, who has just done an incredible job for the last 12 years. Tegan's taken over for John. And then Barbara Haynes, who's oversees our hospitality ministry. Dustin Bungart oversees our ushers, dream team leader for the ushers. Adam Jordan, who oversees the media ministry, the media computer. Richard Roberts, dream team leader for the soundboard. Aren't you glad we have sound? Gary Conway, who heads up the offering counters. Give Gary a hand. Jan Kuhn oversees the greeters, which includes parking. We're going to be asking a lot from the greeters in the new move. Steve Kozakoff is in charge of hospital visitation. So, ushers, pass those sheets out. Man, I have taken longer than I thought I would. Can I have a couple more? How many of you give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, that's great. All right, I stole that from Pastor Scott. All right, so here's our mission statement. Everybody's got a mission statement. I want you to take it home and look at it. And I also want you to think about making your own personal mission statement and answering these questions on these statements and answer them for yourself. So as you look at this, this is who we are, this is where we're going, this is why we do what we do. Number one, an organization or an individual must have a purpose. What is your purpose? The purpose answers the question, why we exist. For yourself, individually, why do you exist? All right, our answer as a church is to glorify God. The next is our mission. Mission is what we do to fulfill our purpose. What do? We win souls, we make disciples. The next thing is your goal. Your goal, what's your goals in life? What we aim to achieve, I already told you, we try to do 4 things. We help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. I'm only going to cover the first 4. Take the rest of them home and look at them, answer them for yourself. And then is your strategy, how we fulfill our goals. How do we help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference? We do 4 things. So we just need to focus, you know, and there's a lot of people, they come and they ask you, what do you do? Why don't we do this and why don't we do that? Well, does it fit our strategy, our goals, our mission, our purpose? If it does, then we'll do it. If you can find a way for us to do these things better, then we're fine with that. And we're trying to do better. So our strategy and how we fulfill those 4 is to have an awesome, inspiring Sunday service, to have life-giving small groups, to have a discovery process where you discover your purpose, and then to have dream teams where you actually take all that and make a difference. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're just going to focus. We're not going to try to do everything everybody wants to do. We're going to try to do these better. Amen? Here's another church sign I found on Pinterest. I spent a lot of time on Pinterest this last week. Some good stuff on Pinterest. Church sign. This one says, we act in ridiculous faith in order to reach this city. The same kind of same theme as that last sign. Might have been the same church. I don't know. Sign looked pretty similar. We reach this city with the gospel of Jesus. We can't think small. We have to take bold steps, abandon the reasonable, embrace the ridiculous, and watch God move. Yeah. Hey, anybody believe that? Yeah. Amen. All right, so I'm going to give you two scriptures. We're going to close with this. My question is this. Are you ready for the next 20 years? Thank God for the last 20 years. It's been good. We've had some great times. We've seen people get saved. We've seen life change. But are we just going to sit back and go, those last 20 years were great? No, we're going to go, what's the next 20 going to be like? They can be greater. They can be better. We can see more lives change. So just two scriptures to back this up. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus speaking, I said, I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock, he's talking about himself, I will build my church. Why have we existed for 20 years? Because God's, not because we've done everything right. I've made a lot of mistakes, but we're still here because he's behind it, because he's in it. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it. You know what? He's going to get us in that building, even though the gates of hell have certainly, you know, frustrated me and made me angry. We're still moving. We're still going. We're still going to do it. One more scripture, and it's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. That's the Great Commission. Go. See, that's why I talk about our city. You got to go. We got to go into our city. We can't just sit around, how much can I get? No, we have to spend our lives in a worthy cause. Arthur Wallace said, if you would have God's best for your life, find out what God is doing in your generation, throw yourself totally into it. You want me to tell you what he's doing? He's building this imperfect vessel called the church, and it wins souls and makes disciples and changes people's eternal destiny. It's flawed. We make mistakes, but he's not got a plan B. He said, I will build my church. And then he told the church, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all I commanded you, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Anybody get anything out of this? How many are ready for the next 20 years? How many are on board with this mission of reaching our city? How many of you think it's better than our own personal agenda and whatever we can accumulate on this earth and going after the stuff and whatever the world says will make you happy? I'm just here to tell you, it really won't make you happy. God will make you happy. Fulfilling your destiny will make you happy. Using your gifts, getting plugged in, getting on a dream team will make you happy. We got to be more committed to it than ever before. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to serve you. I thank you for 20 years of awesome ministry that you have done through some very imperfect vessels. But I also thank you for the next 20 years that you're going to continue to use these imperfect vessels to touch more people, to heal more people, to save more people, bring more people to faith in Christ. Yeah, we make a lot of mistakes, but you're big and you're great and you're good and you're able to fix our mistakes and correct our mistakes and go over the top of them and keep making people get saved and born again and come into the kingdom. I just pray for everybody that's here today. I pray that every single one of us would find our place and find where we fit and use our gifts and talents to your glory. We give it all to you, Lord. I give you my time. I give you my talent. I give you my treasure. It's all yours. And one day you're going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And we are looking forward to that day. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know, think so, hope so, not sure. Hey, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Can you know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. How do you get that? Somebody asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. What does that mean? It means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And that's why you're here today. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I need to be with God, and I want to get back on track. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. But if either one of those two apply to you, and you say, today is the first day of the rest of my life, I want to make a change. I want to make a decision for Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just slip up your hand real quick. Say, yeah, that's me. I'm bold. I'm gonna follow God. Amen. Anybody else? This is a new day. You want to commit your life to Christ or you want to recommit your life to Christ? Anybody else? All right, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Pray this prayer with them. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.